please. Give myself a little more room here. Morning. I don't know if many of you realize this. I believe the last week, the Jewish culture and community celebrated quite a significant holiday in their calendar. What was that, Todd? Yom Kippur. Anybody know what that is all about, Yom Kippur? That is about the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament was the one day a year, right, that the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people to atone for their sins. Unfortunately, it was just symbolic of the work of Jesus Christ, who would once and for all make the ultimate sacrifice for our eternal salvation and redemption and a number of other different things. If you could take just a quick look, so thankful this week we had a great brother in Christ here to share God's word with us, Patrick Dunn. Many of you were in fellowships where he was sharing, and very thankful for his life and travels and the things that the Spirit of God worked in him. One thing he did mention, though, is that God is madly in love with us. So, what a joy. I mean, what a blessing to know that the creator of the universe, who created all of this, he has really one focal point of attention, and that's you. And he can talk to Donna and Ray and me and Marita and Shelley and Todd all at the same time. Don't ask me how he figures that out. You know, we have a hard enough time multitasking, doing what we need to do. But God is the creator. He's in charge of the universe. But yet he's hand-selected you and chosen you to be his very own. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make their comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to have been offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had," what? "No more conscience of sins." You know, one of the great things that defeats God's people is sin consciousness. A great man a number of years ago, and I believe this is pretty much a direct quote, he called it the life sucker of the believer. His name was Dr. Victor Paul Werwolf. Sin consciousness, condemnation, guilt, these things suck the life, the very life, out of God's people. And so this morning, what I would like to share on is something I've entitled, Never Again. And I think we can walk in our day and time without a consciousness of sin. But we're not going to do it in and of our own self, or we're just going to force ourselves to think a certain way. You know, the verse in Romans 12 talks about that you wouldn't be conformed to this world, but you'd be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, God is the one who does the transforming. It's an inside-out job. It's not some sort of external force that's being applied upon us to create this change. The change has been made. It's Christ, the spiritual life, the nature, the life of Christ that's already within us. We just have to allow it to release itself and blossom and flourish. And one of the great things about that Spirit of God in Christ, the moment we got born again, we were made righteous. Righteousness is not something any of us can earn. It's like no amount of any effort you would possibly put into it could ever qualify us to be righteous in God's eyes. Just as there was nothing we had to do to qualify as sinners other than to be born, right? We entered into that realm because our mommy and daddy, and then we had the little spank, or you were dunked in a tub of water, or however it is you came out. We entered into this world. We had nothing to do other than we inherited the sin nature from Adam. And so to have a righteousness consciousness, something disappears in our life. It's called rejection. You know, rejection is feeling like you have a lack of acceptance. Have a righteous consciousness, and the one of the great fruits of that is that rejection goes away because you are now accepted. And when you know it, you have confidence of that acceptance. You are accepted for who you are without any judgment and without any criticism. That's really the way God sees us. See, we are freed from sin consciousness to righteous consciousness. Look in Hebrews chapter 2. We're still there, I think. Hebrews 2. Oh, no. Peter. Sorry. I always loved this verse. This was a great retimmering. 1 Peter 2:24. Says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto what? Righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. See, that's the true nature of who we've been made to be. Our right standing before God. Without any sense of guilt. Wow. No sense of shortcoming. No sense of failure. No sense of being less than what God says of us in His Word. Talk about taking a deep breath. Waking up in the morning and not feeling like a failure. See. You know, we're in a spiritual battle. And it's taking place right up here. And how easy it is for the accuser to get into our minds and tell us something less than what the Word of God says about us. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? can you see according to the Word, or do you see with the senses? You know, a brother in Christ said to Vicki and I the other day, imagine being able to look through the eyes of Jesus Christ every moment of every day. Think about that. Looking, what would it be to be like inside Jesus Christ's physical body and to be looking through His eyes as He walked through His life and to perceive what He perceived and to see what He saw? The very interesting thing, because I thought, well, we have Christ in us. We have Christ's eyes behind our eyes. We can see with the eyes of Christ. So you know what? We don't let the accuser erode our confidence. Because he's always knocking at the door to tell you, you're not this. You're not that. You're this. You're that. You're whatever it is. But you know what we have to do? We have to stand up. And we have to say, I am not stuck here. I can get out of this thing. The one-time work of Jesus Christ has given me the power to go beyond my human ability. And I don't judge myself to be unfit for use or damned or doomed. Which is exactly what the word condemnation means. I don't judge myself by my actions or my thoughts or what I have done or what I haven't done to be unfit or to be judged unfit for the Master's use. See? That's exactly what the word means. I picked up an interesting book by a gentleman named Dr. Creflo Dollar. You ever heard of this gentleman? It's called Winning in Troubled Times. Kind of an interesting fella. He says the reason condemnation is so discouraging is because it tells us that we cannot rise above our shortcomings and our slip-ups. And when we are discouraged, all of a sudden there is a damning effect. The blessing of God is short-circuited because our faith is disrupted. When we feel condemned, we do not have the faith to believe God will bless us. Our lack of faith steals our confidence and robs us of courage and boldness. We feel as if we are not good enough, we don't do enough, and we cannot become everything God wants us to be. That's exactly what guilt and condemnation bring up in a person's heart and life. They feel less than what the Word of God says about them. 1 John chapter 3. Condemnation is, well, hey, am I the only one that's ever condemned myself? I don't think so. It's a tool that the enemy has used very effectively to keep God's people far below the level of where they're really able and capable of going. Condemnation robs you of your confidence in God. Because in 1 John 3, verse 20, it says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." So the opposite of that is, if we do condemn ourselves, then we don't have confidence towards God. We're looking at ourselves. We're looking at our weakness, our inability, our mistakes, what we do, what we don't do. And then we sometimes compare to others. It makes me feel better if she's maybe not doing it as good as I am. See? It's the nature of the world. We had such a fabulous weekend in Tucson where Ken really addressed and shared a lot of the things that people go through in their minds with being judgmental and critical. And you know what? We're sons and daughters of God. We can take this thing to a whole new level. See, if we will just stand up in the face of accusation and stand. And really stand. But the confidence we have is not in us. It's not in the flesh, or it's in works, or whatever we think. Actually, according to 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're supposed to cast down human reasoning. We're not supposed to be able to think through everything to the nth degree. Oh, I think this. I think that. This is my opinion. This is what I think we ought to do. Hey, what about, where's God in all this? The main enemy of a lot of Christian believers is their own human reasoning. They just want to think things through to the nth degree. Like the bumper sticker says, when all else fails, pray. Okay, well, you know, does that mean I have to then just work my mind to try to come up with some sort of logical? I think we've all tried this and failed. Just start with God first. Okay, God, you know, what should I do in this situation? Because it's not by my own human reasoning that I'm going to come up with all these brilliant, earth-shattering things to do. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If we're trying to pull down strongholds in our own lives by fleshly ability or human reasoning and logic, well, it's kind of like we shouldn't even start. See, our confidence is really in the work of Christ that happened on our behalf. And it's in Him that we have all the peace, all the joy, all the wherewithal to stand up to the enemy as righteous ones no matter what. No matter what failures you've made, I don't care how tall you are, how short you are, how thin you are, how big you are, what your bank account looks like, what your bank account doesn't look like. Those are not the standards. See? Those are not the standards that God sets in His Word for righteousness, intelligence, good looks, and not something else are really the world standards for being accepted. We live in this world, you know what I'm saying. See? And how far short people fall in their own minds when they don't look like the Vogue model. See? And all of a sudden we will impose rules and regulations upon ourselves to rise up to some sort of unattainable standard. The standard we want to really rise up to is having intimate, complete, developed fellowship with God Almighty and to walk like the Lord Jesus Christ day by day, moment by moment. If all those other things come as a result, then God bless you. You know? But we have to really fight so that our path continues to be one of accessing God. See, there's so many paths out there, you know what I mean? So many paths you can just get going down. See. But a lot of them, we need God's help and understanding so we're choosing and making the right choices on what those paths are that we'll take. Romans chapter 8. I'm preaching it now, huh? Yeah, man. There's therefore now what? No condemnation. No condemnation. There's no judgment of yourself by your actions, your thoughts, you whatever. Believe me, you have been judged already in Christ and you have been acquitted. You have been found completely innocent. I don't care what you've done. David was an adulterer. David had someone murdered. And yet the Word of God says in Acts 13 that he was a man after God's own heart. So you tell me how that works out. Paul had his whole ministry going around pulling Christians out of fellowship and committing them to prison and doing whatever it is he did. And yet Jesus Christ handpicked this individual. Ultimately he revealed the mystery to him. See? Our minds don't think like God's. See? 1 Samuel 16, 7 says that man looks on the outward appearance, and boy, isn't that true. But it says, thank you, God, that God looks on your heart. He looks right to your heart. He knows you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what's in there. And all he sees is good. Man, talk about looking through the eyes of Christ. Can you say honestly, I know I couldn't, that I always see good in everything? I always see good in people? Romans 8. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And of course, many of the texts eliminate those next words, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's what condemnation and guilt brings into a person's life. Death. Because it's certainly not life. I mean, if you're pounding on yourself day in, day out, you know, all these different things, it's not bringing forward a lot of energizing joy and, man, this is just the greatest thing. That's not it. You know what? We've been judged righteous in Christ, and that's the holy ground upon which we stand. That's the holy ground upon which the Christian who's come out of this dark world, come out of Egypt, and God promises a holy land. Once we accept Jesus Christ, we have placed our feet on holy ground. Our lives are fit for the Master's use. There's nothing you can do to qualify for that. They're fit for the Master's use. So, hey. And we can be and are willing to submit ourselves to His care, to His guidance, and to His provision. He only has our best interests in mind. God is the Good Shepherd. Remember? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Over and over and over. You know what? God is not full of love. God is love. You know, we may get filled up with love, but God doesn't have to get filled up with love. He is love, the essence of everything that love is. See? And He cares for us in every way. You know, the Word says that every hair on our head is numbered. He is always for us. And He's always on our side. Always. He's never working against us. He's always in our corner fighting for us, encouraging us. Grace, you can get out there. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it, Donna. You can go for it. Because it's Christ in you. Christ in you. See? In Him, we truly are more than conquerors, for we are His men. We're His women. We're children of the kingdom. And here we are, down upon earth. See? This is who we truly are. This is truly who we've been called to be, to stand up and to take our rightful place as sons of God. And man, it's by grace. It is so by grace. The more you see it, the more you realize it's more by grace. It's more by grace. John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. The great record here. The world condemns. The world judges and says you're guilty. A lot of times not even because of anything you did, just because of the way you look. People will make assessments about your life based on what you look like. You're this, you're that, blah, blah. God doesn't judge according to man's standards. He looks on the heart of an individual. See? John chapter 8, verse 7. Actually, we'll look in verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him. He sat down, and He taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, those guys, they brought unto a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say about that? This they said, tempting Him that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down, and with His finger He wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. What do you think He was doing down there? You think maybe He was going to God and asking God for wisdom and an answer in this situation? And so when they continued asking Him, they didn't let up. He lifted up in Himself, and He said unto them, He that was without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Oh, there's a great lesson here about being judgmental people. We have no business. We're not in the business of judging. That is not our business. We are in the business of loving unconditionally, loving like God does, loving like Christ did. And this is a great example of the love and the compassion and the heart of the Father. Jesus Christ shared the Father's heart of healing. Look what He went on to say to this gal. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground, and went, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted Himself up, He saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And He said unto her, You know what? I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. What a powerful record. What a powerful record. Jesus shared the Father's heart of healing, of restoration and forgiveness. And it reminds us so wonderfully that we are not stuck where we are. We pick up. and we move forward. See? Because we have a Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior from sin. If we were so perfect before, why did we even need it? He's the one who gave us salvation, who gave us wholeness, who gave us hope, who gave us a connection to the Father. Something. You know, 1 John 1:9, familiar with that verse? Talks about if we confess our sins, well, actually it says in verse 8, if we say we don't have any sin, we're deceived, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, part of the healing thing of confessing is for you, is for me. See, God already knows. We're not doing it for His benefit. We're doing it for our own benefit to get rid of it so we don't carry the guilt, the condemnation, the knowledge of where we've fallen short. We've missed the mark. Everybody misses the mark. Everybody. See? And so we need this process to keep ourselves together. And God has provided this as a means to stay blessed, stay in fellowship. See? So we can move forward without guilt, without fear, without inferiority, see? Without condemnation in our lives. God's given us this great ability. It's really simple. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, my heart was not there, or whatever it is has to be said. You know, and another great key, I think, is to say, I accept the mercy of God. That you would say that to yourself. I accept the mercy of God. In Lamentations 3:22, it talks about God's mercies are faithful. They're new every morning. Hey, I accept the mercy of God. And that's God's, you know, from what we understand, God's withholding merited judgment. We deserve it, but we don't get it. So you know what? I accept that. We may fail, you know what? But His compassions do not. We may fall short, and we do. But we pick ourselves back up and we get back into the contest. And finally, Philippians chapter 1, this would be interesting in light of what I think Grace or somebody else was saying, Warren maybe too. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has not given up on you. God has not given up on you. You may have fallen short. You may feel like things aren't working out exactly the way they should, according to maybe what you think they should. See? But God isn't finished with you yet. He's not finished with any of us yet. He was the one who started something with us. And He has made a commitment to finish it. To finish it. He's not forsaking us. He's not letting us go. He's not letting us fall. He has started a good thing within us. See? And He's hanging around to see it fulfilled. So my title about never again is to never again for me and never again for you, to the best of my ability, to let guilt or condemnation control me. You know why? For I have and you have the righteousness of God in the work of Jesus Christ. Make up your mind. Make a decision. I will never allow, and I say to the best of my ability because I know myself, I will never allow to the best of my ability to let guilt and condemnation and some sort of accusation that comes to me stand in my way of being who God has called me to be. We can stand righteously. We can stand confidently. It's because of God's grace and God's mercy that we have been made righteous. See, We are free. We're free. But what do we do with it? Galatians says, don't use freedom for your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve. Serve. It's not an occasion to become more selfish now, more about me, me, me. It's free to serve, free to love, free to give, free to live our lives in that intimate fellowship with the Creator of the universe. See? Who we have access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long. See? So never again, remember that. Don't allow yourself to go there with guilt. I don't care what it is. Condemnation? No. You are what the Word of God says you are. Amen? All right, Father, thank you for the opportunity to share this great Word and these righteous truths from your Word, Father. You know us so much better than we know ourselves. You know our frailties, our failings, our weaknesses, and you still love us. You care for us so much, Father, and that we can see and look through the eyes of the Christ and have such a wonderful and great perspective, Father, and continue to serve the Word, the bread of life. There are so many who hunger and thirst for it, Father, that we're just the messengers with a great message of good news. So we thank you for this. Thank you for time to be together this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 All right. Go ahead.